Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I'm an advocate of something called centering prayer or contemplative prayer. And this is when you get still, as the psalm says, be still and know that I am God. This is when you just get quiet and allow God to enfold you and embrace you and try to get still. You'll notice when you try to do that, you're going to get distracted very easily. So I'm not telling you to spend a half an hour in centering prayer. If you can do that, great. But I just want you to get still for 30 seconds, just for about a minute, just kind of get quiet. That's a good place to begin. Just try to get quiet. I went on a retreat 2 months ago, and the place that I love to go is Big Sur, California. There's what's called a Camaldolese. They're an offshoot of the Benedictines, a Camaldolese monastery. And it's up about 1,400 feet overlooking the Pacific Ocean right off Route 1 at Big Sur. So I remember I was there about 2 months ago, and I'm taking a little walk. It was actually in the afternoon. And I'm looking down at the Pacific Ocean down there, and I could see way out in the distance, about a mile out, there were these humpback whales. They look like porpoises jumping up and down and splashing and everything. And I could see them out there. I said, wow, look at that. Then all of a sudden, as I'm looking, I saw the whales were spouting. If you've ever seen this, you know, they exhale and the water goes spouting up. And I could see it way off in the distance. I said, those whales are spouting. All of a sudden, I heard it. I heard, I'd see the spout, and then about 2 seconds later, because it took a little while for it to travel, I'd hear, and I thought to myself, this is a beautiful moment. I can actually hear these whales exhaling. I remember my dad used to work. He was a carpenter. He used to work really hard. He'd build buildings. He'd work all day long. I used to work with him at times as a teenager. And we'd get home, and he'd always sit down by the kitchen table. He'd take his shoes off, and he'd sit back, and he'd go, whew. And what was my dad doing? Well, he was exhaling, but he was just taking a moment to rest, that Sabbath stillness. Even in the midst of all the trials and the work and the tribulations and the activities of our day, it's always good just to take a deep breath and just take a rest. I play golf, as you know. And I remember one time, actually many times, I had these great opportunities to make a birdie. A birdie is below a par. It's a great score on a hole. Say it's a par four, a birdie is a three. And they're hard to come by. And I had these great opportunities, 10-footers for birdies. Usually you can make those putts. And for some reason, when I was making the putts, they were just burning the edge, or I was just missing them, and they weren't quite going in. And I was getting really frustrated and saying, why can't I make these birdie putts? I got these great opportunities, and they're not going in. And my friend told me, Cedric, you know, you're doing everything right, but just relax a little bit. Why don't you take a deep breath, let it out, and then see what happens. So the next time I had a chance for a birdie, it's about an 8-foot putt. I go, I should make this. You know, this is what a putt I can make. I remember what he said, and I went, lined up over the putt, hit the putt, and it went right in the hole. Now, I've tried this after, and it doesn't always work, but a lot of times it does work. And, you know, when you take a deep breath and you let it out, your pulse slows down. Your blood pressure lowers, and you calm down a little bit. I'm going to invite you to do that right now. Everybody with me, just take a deep breath, then let it out. There's something just so calming about that. When you go to prayer, that's what I want you to do. That's a moment of Sabbath. That's a moment of rest. That's a moment of refreshment. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Even whales, now whales are mammals, and we're mammals too. Even whales know the value of rest. That's why they spout. But oftentimes, you know, we're just so pent up on things and anxious and thinking about what we've got to be doing and all the different things and how the ship is flipped and all these different things. And we forget that we need to be still. It's very important. Remember now, prayer isn't just speaking. It's listening. And in order to listen, you have to have certainly the TV off, the radio off, try to get distractions out of your life, but you got to be calm. And that's what Jesus was doing early in the morning. I think if you ever have heard about contemplative prayer, breathing is so important. Just rhythmical breathing, just being at peace, it's very important. So I'm not asking you to be still for a half an hour, just 30 seconds. Take a deep breath, relax a little bit, and listen. I like to read the scriptures. In fact, I was reading the scriptures before I started doing this preaching on prayer. See, this is one of the ways that God will speak to you, and you've heard me say that before. He'll speak to you through the scriptures. And I came to the scriptures this morning, and I started reading the Acts of the Apostles. I just kind of turned to it. And what I turned to was, and it was underlined, it said, the Holy Spirit sent Paul. And I thought to myself, thank you, Lord. That so speaks to me, because what you're telling me is that the Holy Spirit has sent me. And it talked about how Paul went to all these different places. Yeah, he suffered and he went through trials, but he did God's will. God had anointed him. And it was a moment where I was able to hear. And you know what time it was when I was reading this? 3:30 in the morning. I got up and I read the scriptures. It's amazing how if you just relax, spend a little bit of time in quiet. Now that's prayer. And that's how you get that fuel. Remember what I said, prayer is the fuel of greatness. That's like going to a gas station. And you know, you tank up your car. You get that fuel, you get that energy, you get that strength to get in touch with your call. You know, some of you are married, some of you are single, some of you are priests and religious. You get in touch with your call through prayer. You discern a call through prayer, and you also get in touch with it. So prayer, remember what I said, it's dangerous. It can change you. It helps you to be faithful. It helps you to be determined. It helps you to take the initiative. It helps you to dream dreams. It helps you to live with passion. Remember the title of my program, the name of my program is Live with Passion. You can't just do that on your own. You need that zeal, that energy, that enthusiasm that only God can give. God inspires passion. That's why Jesus, early in the morning, starting off his day, he's seeking God, meditating, listening, and he's getting that fuel to be able to go out and preach to all these different cities, to deal with all the people that's going to be coming to him, to deal with the problems that he had to do with his apostles and to handle all their difficulties. And it came, that wisdom, that strength, that grace, came through prayer. Same with you. You got to raise children. You got to deal with your workplace. You got to deal with the neighbors. You got to deal with your family. You know, you can do it through prayer. Remember what I said, not just do it, but God will take you into a place of victory. And you'll do it with strength. And remember now, part of prayer is, as I said, changing you. You will change, you will become more virtuous. You will become a person of courage. You'll become a person of patience, a person of faithfulness. And those things, you can't just do that on your own. You need the strength of God. You need the power of God. You need God himself to help you to change. And then, of course, prayer is listening. And I talk about this in my book, Thy Kingdom Come. I talk about listening and how you can come to a deeper place of stillness and quiet. But of course, prayer is also about speaking. Now, I want to talk to you about that a little bit, because most people, you know, when they pray, I don't know what it is. When people pray, they get all this religious jargon, you know. They start speaking in ways that they think that God will listen to them. And they call upon God most holy, or God almighty, or God in the highest heavens. And sometimes you got to raise your hands or get this right posture or whatever it is. Forget all that religious ease, that jargon, praying the rote prayers. Now, I'm not saying the rote prayers aren't important. Prayers like Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory to God and, you know, different things like that. Those prayers are important. So I'm not saying don't pray rote prayers. But most of all, when you talk to God, be authentic. Be sincere. Be, as the 12-step program says, rigorously honest. Get in touch with your emotions. Get in touch with what you're going through. Get in touch with the depths of your heart. That's part of getting still. When you get still, you take a breath, you kind of get in touch with what's going on in your life. See, what happens is, a lot of times we pray to God in all this religious language, and we've got a whole nother life going on over here that we're not even touching upon. We're just talking to God the way we think God wants to hear and language he wants to hear. And our whole life, the reality, what we're going through, maybe some addictions, maybe some anxieties, some fears, some grieving, whatever it is, we're not even talking about that to God. And what I'm inviting you to do, I call it the prayer of sincerity, the prayer of authenticity. Pray your experiences. For example, you know, when I talk about praying, be rigorously honest. Are you grieving right now? Then say, come before God and say, Lord, I am going through the worst grief right now. And it hurts so deeply. I need your help. Invite God into the grief. Talk to God when you're lonely. As you open yourself up in honesty, in truth, and you talk about it, it's amazing how the Spirit of God will get in there and embrace you in your loneliness and help you to move through it. Say, Lord, I'm worried. I'm anxious about a future event, an operation, whatever it may be. God will help you with your anxiety. And most of all, when you talk to God, it's about being trusting. It's really important. See, as I said, God, prayer brings immediate consolation. So say you're lonely and you say, Lord, I'm lonely. I need your help right now. And it's, you know, there's a peace in that. Maybe the loneliness doesn't go away right away, but somehow you've invited God into it and it helps. It strengthens you. It makes you brave. You can face it. Remember when the ship flips, there's got to be a morning after. Prayer is very hopeful. So include God, and I tell people, get in touch with what you're going through and include God in this. Tell God everything. You know, in a marriage, a good marriage, you don't hold anything back from your spouse. You tell them everything. Same way in your relationship with God. When you talk about a personal relationship with God, tell God everything. Tell him what you're going through, your frustrations, your impatience, your grieving, your joys, the good things that are going on in your life, your dreams, your visions. Invite God into everything. And as I said, when there's a problem, pray. Don't just say, I'm going to face this, I can do it. Pray about it. When you're tempted, pray. Don't let the devil have his way in your life. Remember what Jesus did. He said, lead us not into temptation. That's right in the Our Father. When you're offended by somebody, don't just overreact, pray about it. When you're going through some type of a physical suffering, pray about that. When you're anxious, pray. When you're confused or lonely, as I said, when you're offended, when you're suffering in any way, pray about it and watch what happens. You know, I have to tell you, prayer is about listening. It's about speaking. I'm just giving you a brief overview of what prayer is. But overall, if you look at the context of prayer, as I said, it's very hopeful. But to me, prayer is entrusting yourself, relying upon God. It's the most trustful thing that you can do. When you're praying, you're saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm coming to you in prayer. Here's what I'm going through. I'm inviting you into my life. Please help me. And you watch what God will do. You know, for example, I look at the teachings of Jesus. Remember what he said? He said, look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin or toil, but Solomon wasn't clothed like one of these. Or look at the birds of the air. You know, God takes care of them. And he said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you. So in other words, When you're seeking God, when you're praying, when you're inviting God into the depths of your being, God knows your needs. He just wants to be included, and then he'll take care of you. I think about the Our Father. Of course, I'm talking about the prayer of the Our Father. If you go to the Catholic Catechism, the whole fourth section is on prayer, and it talks about the Our Father line by line in detail. The Our Father, if you just look at it, the whole prayer as an overview, it's a prayer of trust. Jesus is trusting in this prayer, trusting himself and telling us to trust ourselves to God, to rely upon God. And, you know, I took the Our Father, and, you know, we all pray it every day and over so many times. And I kind of paraphrased it, and this is what I came up with. You who gave me life in all things, you who are close to me, I want to give you glory. Use me to change the world and to bring peace. Help me to make right choices. Provide for all my needs. I'll be a forgiving person because you've had mercy on me. Help me not to sin. You are the source of all that I am and all that I have and all that I ever will be. I want to live to bring you glory. Amen. That in a nutshell is what Jesus is telling us in the Our Father. It's a prayer of trust. It's a prayer of giving ourselves to God. It says in the Bible in 1 Peter, cast your care on God because God cares for you. And that's exactly what we do in prayer. We're entrusting ourselves to God. So I want to tell you, prayer is listening. Prayer is speaking. Prayer is trusting yourself to God. And remember what I said, prayer is dangerous. What do I mean by that? Because when you pray, God hears, and he will help you, and he will change you. It's a very dangerous act. In fact, I hear from a lot of people, Father, I don't know if I'm praying correctly or if I'm praying right, because it doesn't seem like God's answering my prayer, and I don't know exactly what's going on here, but it seems like other people get answers to their prayers. But I don't seem like I'm getting an answer to my prayer. Am I doing something wrong? And what I want to tell you is that you're probably not doing something wrong. Just any prayer is pleasing to God. But I want to tell you is that you have to pray what I call spirit-led prayers. The Bible says in Romans 8, we don't even know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit prays through us. What does it mean to pray a spirit-led prayer? Well, most of us pray like this. We say, Lord, help me in my relationships, or help me meet my financial needs, or bring me healing for the physical pain I'm going through. Those are all good prayers. God can do that. God can bring healing, bring you money, help your relationships. But I'll tell you, more than any of those things, spirit-led prayers go something like this. God, I pray for the courage to face my issues. God, I pray to forgive the person who has offended me. God, I pray to have patience in the midst of the tribulations of my life. God, I pray to know you in a deep personal way. God, I pray that you will help me with my dreams and visions to realize my potential and become all that I can be. See, to me, these are spirit-led prayers. You pray to be wise and resilient and passionate and zealous. That's what Jesus was doing in that lonely place and up on the mountaintop. Notice, when after he prayed and he had that glow, he went and he preached and he healed and he helped people. In other words, he was praying for enthusiasm. He was praying for creativity. He was praying for determination. He was praying for wisdom. Remember that moment when that woman caught in adultery was thrown before him and they all started pressing Jesus and they said, we just caught this woman in adultery. What do you say? Moses said to stone her, what do you say? And remember what Jesus did for a moment? He wrote on the ground. What was he doing? He was exhaling. He was being still. He was taking a moment to seek wisdom from God. Then he came up with that great saying. He said, let the person among you that is without sin cast the first stone. So that's what happens when you pray. You seek wisdom. You seek God's guidance. You seek passion. And then, of course, dreams and visions, realizing your potential. It's amazing what can come to you as you pray. It's very, very important. And then besides all those things, as you pray and as you seek God, remember now I'm talking about how you are the change that we're looking for. That's what Gandhi said. He said, be the change that you're hoping to see in the world. You be the change. So in other words, prayer isn't so much about changing the circumstances, and it's not so much about changing your situation. It's about you changing. If you've got an addiction, facing your addiction. If you have a dream and a vision, becoming that dream and vision. Becoming a person of virtue. Seeking God in a more intense and personal way. And I think about, you know, changing in prayer. One time it was after I had preached one night at a mission, and I was driving home and I looked and there was a package store. Here's these three young guys coming out of the package store. And I thought to myself, you know, I just spoke in front of all these people who are interested in God. They want to grow in their faith. And here are these three young guys, these thugs, you know, at a package store, going to go party. They're all drinking and everything. And I thought, you know, they really need to change. And I heard this voice deep within, Cedric, instead of judging them, pray for them. And I thought, well, you know, never thought of that. So I did. I prayed for them. And you know what that told me? That prayer helped change me from being a less judgmental person to a more accepting person. And that's exactly what I'm saying about prayer. Prayer will change you. It'll help you to be more accepting, help you to be more passionate, help you to be a person of virtue and integrity, help you to be a person of determination and dreams and enthusiasm. So as I'm saying, prayer is dangerous. It'll change you. I think about St. Francis of Assisi, of course. Great saint, one of my favorite saints, the universal saint. And he had a wonderful intimacy with God that he had in prayer. Became a tremendous person of virtue. And then he lived his dreams and his visions, and he touched many people. Well, there's this beautiful prayer attributed to him, and it's called the Peace Prayer. And I want to share this with you, and I want to leave this with you as I conclude my time with you about prayer. And it's this, you've heard it before. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to be to love with all my soul. For it's in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we're pardoned, and it's in dying that we're born to eternal life. So as you pray, as you spend time listening, speaking, seeking God, connecting with God, remember, prayer is dangerous. It's going to change you. You'll have a deeper relationship with God. You'll change in character. You'll become a person of passion. And you'll become a person, a channel of God's peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.